go to the Capitol. And Greg Abbott, the Honorable Governor of Texas, joins us. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you all doing?
Good. Thanks for being with us once again. Well, it's going to be 97 inside, outside, but it's been pretty hot inside as we get started with this special session. We're just a day into it, but already things are fast and furious on the Senate side.
And that's the important thing. When you have a special session that lasts only 30 days, you want to make sure you get in there and get moving fast. And that's exactly what the Senate has done by passing this emergency sunset bill. I'm sorry, they haven't passed it yet. They're moving it along. The emergency sunset bill, which will then add on the other 19 items. But it looks like the Senate will pass that out in final version tomorrow, and the House is taking it up today. And so from everything that I have seen and heard so far, it looks like we will be making some pretty good progress this summer.
Well, and so I guess, as you say, it goes to committee in the House today, and if they vote that out quickly, then it's done. But the battle lines have really already been set up. You were speaking Texas Public Policy on Monday. The lieutenant governor was as well. And it sounded like an audience who liked everything that you had to say, as well as the lieutenant governor. But it was interesting, I thought, that the lieutenant governor basically used the phrase "the governor and I" four or five times, basically described himself as your wingman, and yet in that entire discussion, there was no mention of the Speaker of the House, and that's part of the equation as well. Your thoughts there?
Well, my thoughts are that for one, Dan Patrick is supporting the items that I have added to the special session agenda, and what we are trying to do is to make sure that we can engender the same type of support in the House. And I think... and I may be wrong about reading the tea leaves here, but it looks like we will be hopefully getting some of these things passed through the House also. It's important that we bring everybody together because, listen, what we are focused on this summer are some issues that are going to be for the benefit of individuals in Texas, but as well as the state of Texas, things like cutting taxes, things like cutting regulations, things like adding more money for teachers, so increasing teacher pay. So there are some very important items that we must address, and I think these are things that we can bring both the House and the Senate together on and make Texas even better.
Governor Greg Abbott joining us this morning on the Infomaniacs. Now, the lieutenant governor seemed to indicate that he thought the Speaker was heading Texas down the path for a state income tax. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not ready to go there yet, and what I think is that if we all work together and focus on what really needs to be done, we won't go there. But I can tell you this is pretty easy. As long as I'm governor of the state of Texas, we're never going to have a state income tax. And so we can put a nail in that coffin real quick.
Do you think that the Speaker is doing something that would lead to that?
I haven't seen anything along those lines.
Okay. Now, and part of it has to do with teacher pay raises. I think everybody wants to see classroom teachers make as much as they can. You have a proposal for that. The lieutenant governor had a suggestion as well. So where do we actually come up with the money that you're looking for immediate bonuses? Where are those dollars going to come from?
Well, the good news is there have been a lot of suggestions that have arisen, frankly, over the just last couple of days about where the money can come from. The most important thing that I could do is that when I announced the call for a special session, I put on the agenda increasing teacher pay. This was one of the items on the special session agenda that was not talked about during the regular session. So I believe that we need to pay our teachers more in order for us to be able to recruit and retain the very best. And so I've kicked off the discussion that people are now buying into and agreeing with. And so the hardest obstacle has now apparently been overcome, and now we just need to debate the best way to fund those teacher pay rate increases. So this is one of the items that I'm very, very hopeful we will get passed because our teachers deserve and need to be paid more.
I want to go to tax cuts in just a moment, but people who I hear from say, we do want tax relief. We want Texas' economy to grow and be great. Why are we spending so much time on a bathroom bill? Please explain why that is so important to you.
Well, there are some problems. I'm going to give you something that you may have not heard about before, but it's a problems that we're dealing with. You know, frankly, if you go back from 1836 until 2016, we haven't had any problem with bathrooms in the state of Texas. Something changed in 2016, and what changed is that is when Barack Obama altered the language of Title IX of the United States Education Code, and Title IX is the one that deals with sex in education, and he added the phrase gender identity onto the identification of sex in the education code. And in the aftermath of that, a lot of schools across the state of Texas began to change their policies and practices. And the fact of the matter is, after President Trump got elected, he undid that. But we still are dealing with the complications of different standards by different schools that, frankly, could be at loggerheads with Title IX. And so bottom line is that clarity is needed for the practices that our schools engage in as it concerns Title IX, as it concerns sex, as well as gender identity.
Governor Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, joining us this morning as we discuss the one-day-old special session with hopefully 29 or fewer days to go from there. We're hope. Fingers crossed, right? Property taxes, clearly something that people are unhappy about. They feel that many people feel that their taxes have gone too high. There are two pieces of legislation, one in the House, one in the Senate, having to do with if those property tax rates are too high. One would be a mandatory rollback situation, as I understand it, where you would vote that there would be a rollback. The other is that the opportunity would be there. Which of those versions are you more comfortable with right now?
Well, first, the good news, and that is we have both the House and the Senate agreeing that something has to be done to rein in skyrocketing property taxes. You know, people are being taxed out of their homes, and this is especially troublesome for seniors who may have paid off the mortgage on their home but frankly can't live it anymore because the taxes are so high. I've talked to people across the state of Texas, and their leading complaint is property taxes, and we simply have to cut them. And so to your question, and that is just the rate rollback, and for your listeners, what we're talking about here is that for governments, it could be local governments typically that may try to raise property taxes, they have some latitude to raise them a few percentage points. But what we are saying is that if local governments try to raise property taxes by more than, say, 4 or 5%, the taxpayers, the people that have to pay those increased property taxes, are going to get to have an automatic say on whether or not those property taxes should go into place or should be denied. And so all we're saying is that the people who have to pay the tab on this should have a say in the process. And I want to make sure that those taxpayers do have a say so that they are able to live within their means.
Well, let me ask the question that I know some school administrators are, and they're saying historically the state had provided a larger percentage of funding for schools in the past than they do now. So if you're going to squeeze us on one side with the rollback on taxes and not give us as much money coming out of Austin, how do we meet our increasing expenses for public education?
Well, this is going to be a multi-step process. And one of the steps that's tied to exactly what you're talking about is what's called school finance reform. School finance reform is also on the special session agenda. I hope that we are able to achieve school finance reform in 30 days, which frankly, as you might imagine, would be a long shot. Absent that, I'm requesting a commission that will have very specific proposals for us to be able to take up in the next regular session that will be able to fix this. One of the ways that we'll be able to fix this would be to address that concern that you raised, because we want to make sure that our cities and counties are going to be able to govern themselves adequately. But the main thing we need to do is to ensure that we are funding our schools better. But that also means structuring our schools better, finding more efficient and more effective ways of delivering education in the state of Texas.
Governor Greg Abbott joining us this morning. I believe yesterday you said that you are going to daily have a list of, it's a naughty or nice list. You're going to be kind of like Santa Claus. You're going to have a list of legislators that are on the right side of an issue as far as you're concerned, and some that are on the wrong side, and some that are doing nothing. Do we have a list this morning yet?
Well, you can't have a list about who's for what or who's against what until the bills have been filed. And that process is undergoing as we speak. In fact, legislators are in the halls of the Capitol right now getting people to sign up on their bill proposals. So it will take at least a couple of days before The sheets of bills are circulated to find out who the co-authors and supporters are for that legislation. We are hopeful that we will be able to publish something by the end of this week after that signature accumulation process begins. But the main thing that we're doing is really letting the public know which members of the House and Senate support these items that I've added to the agenda. And we want to reward those who are supporting it by letting the public know that these people are behind the governor, behind an agenda that's going to ensure both more freedom, more economic opportunity, lower taxes, better pay for teachers, things like that. And so we will be publishing those who are supporting this legislation and let voters decide that if their legislator's name is not on there, they obviously is not, they're not part of the agenda right now.
A couple of other things I'd like to talk about beyond the special session. Monday, well, first of all, you announced for that you were going to run for a second term on Friday. There are probably some T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted before you feel like your service to Texas is finished. Give us kind of your thoughts as far as that goes.
Well, I wanted to announce in San Antonio, Texas, which is where I announced 4 years ago. It's the home of my wife, as well as where we got married. And there's a lot of symbolism there for us, in addition to the fact that I won Bexar County 4 years ago. I want to win it again this time. It's a very important county. But also what we want to do is to continue an agenda that we've undertaken in the past 4 years of creating more jobs, providing more economic opportunity, while at the same time being able to reduce government and increase individual liberty and freedom. These are the touchstones of what Texas is all about. And we need to make sure that we're going to be able to do so in a way free from the liberal agenda trying to take over and alter Texas and take Texas down the pathway of some of these failed states like Illinois or some of these big government states like California. Texas has been Texas since 1836 when we were our own nation, and since 1845 when we became a state. And we need to keep Texas the freest and strongest state in the country. And I will be laying out an agenda to make sure that we do that.
CNBC lists the best states to do business. Texas has held that for a long time. We have dropped to fourth. There's still a lot of great things going on in Texas, but one of the things that had happened before, your predecessor had put together an enterprise fund that was basically some money that could be used to induce large businesses moving to Texas. That has been changed. Those funds are being directed elsewhere. With Texas making that shift down to fourth, do you see under any name that there might be a fund put together that would help induce businesses to come to Texas?
Right. Let me say two things about this. First, in what CNBC wrote about, first, Texas is four, and that's one of the top rankings. However, what CNBC specifically said is that Texas leads the nation in workforce quality. We lead the nation in infrastructure. What caused us to drop down to number four was because of the economic impact of oil price being cut in half and then being cut in half again. With Texas being such a prolific oil state, you can't have oil drop basically 75%. Without it having an effect on our economy. And so with the price of oil increasing since that time, our economy is gaining steam once again. But for the Enterprise Fund, attracting businesses to the state, I did get that funded during this past session. And so I'm going full steam. In fact, I was talking to people yesterday, businesses that were thinking about relocating to the state of Texas. I've been very aggressive in using it. We made an announcement also about how Merck, the big drug company, is locating a facility here in the state of Texas. And so we are continuing to use this fund very strategically to diversify our economy so that we will be able to add more jobs, more high-paying jobs in sectors that have nothing whatsoever to do with oil and gas that will make our economy more diversified so that if oil turns down again, it will not adversely impact our economy.
Finally today, TABC has been in the news for all the wrong reasons lately, but a local guy, Bentley Nettles, has been named as the head of the TABC. I'd like to get your thoughts on him and why he was chosen for that.
Well, we are very grateful for him. He's pretty much a legend. He's highly respected, and we've had some challenges at TABC, and we need reform. And he's the type of person who has the capabilities and the skill sets and the high respect and regard to go in there and implement the reforms that are needed to restore a sterling reputation for a very important state agency. So I'm very, very grateful that we were able to identify him and get him in the fold and bring him into reforming this agency and make the state of Texas even better.
Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, joining us this morning. Governor, thank you so much for the time. Hope we can talk to you again before this session ends.
I sure look forward to it. God bless you all.
Thank you.